Ça fait la requesting that we start at 2 o'clock on Monday. I don't know if the honourable members will find favour with that, because I think also give you time to deal with some of the issues that we have not yet been able to resolve, and which you might want to talk about, so that you're not going to have time over the weekend. You could spend that early morning session, and then we can start at 2 o'clock on Monday. Is there any objection to that on Monday? We shall start at 2 on Monday. On Monday, then next we're done. There's seen very little to do. We have the state law advisor that has been asked to do certain things, and we immediately go over to her.
May I just report back on the matter of section 015, new 13, and as it approves on the Rand's opinion, which makes with the approval of the ANC, there was the outstanding matter whether he had included the word security and national security expression. I've written an email to him and I've copied it to all of you so you too will receive it so that it's on the record what is being asked, but I did, as the Honourable Lander suggested, phone him, and his answer is that I did not opzettelijk gedoen het. Nee, I did not opzettelijk security and national security ingezet. It was, in other words, it was in the draft he was working from, the working document. He did not expressly do it, and he did not apply his mind at all to that issue, so those were not his instructions. So it was, it will be a mistake, but the working draft that he was working off still included both security and national security. However, I'm sending the email and so that you too will have his response, and you can see on the record what is asked, what is answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Smith. Those are voted, and can we then go over to you, Ms. Boyton?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we prepared two documents today, the working document 17. What is incorporated there is just to retain the subclause 1.3 on page 19 after our discussions yesterday. What must just come out, and that's just an omission from our side, is that in brackets subclause 3 is flat, and that it must be deleted from the document. I apologize for that. Chairperson, and then the other matter was...
Sorry, can you just repeat that?
At the bottom there, on page 19, on the bottom of subclause 3, the word inserted subclause 3 is flat. Proposal on separate documents, just to delete that. It's an omission on my side. I apologize for that. Let's just be deleted from the working document. Okay, this and then, on page 62, the insertion of the responsibilities of agency at the bottom there of page 62. Okay, but that takes care of the working document instruction. If I may continue, then I continue to working document 17, the committee proposal, that's the SIM document. And on that aspect, Chairperson, there's just another addition to the, if I may, on page 1 of the national security. We took out the word means and we included the word include on the definition of national security on the proposal there. On page 3, we were also asked to incorporate the IFP proposal, and we incorporated the definition from Dr. Ambrosini's document that's on top of page 3. chairperson, then I continue. On page 7, again an insertion from the IFP document on behalf of Dr. Anderson, he asked us to also include the new suggestion, and that is on page 7 for the subject. Chairperson, then on page 9, also an insertion from the IFP document, and that's at the bottom of page 9. Then on page 11, at the bottom there, Old Clause 38, New Clause 47, to insert the words other than as compensated in section 42. And then go across the page on page 12 to insert the words a fine or two. That just makes it clear that it's conviction to a fine or two imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years. Chairperson, similarly on page 12, the inclusion of the word a fine or two in the proposal that was discussed yesterday. And then also on page 13, the inclusion of the IFC document proposal. And then on the bottom there, an inclusion of the proposal by Honourable Member Swart on that is. Chairperson, I'm sorry, that is very dark. Unfortunately, it's, the highlight was red, so it came out very dark. So it must actually be 47. The old clause 41 was bracketed, and it's new clause 47. It's on the bottom of page 30, under further proposal. And we'll try to ask us to just incorporate that particular amendment. And then also to further limit it, and that's on page 14, going across to page 15, by taking out paragraphs C and D to that particular clause.
Clarity is explained the RA proposal has C and D. The B proposal has only A and B, which is the prior word. So our further proposal is the one prior to that because it is a order that's explained to them. That's why there are two proposals from our side. Thank you, sir.
Chair, can I continue?
What page are you talking
about?
Page 14. The difference under 2A, the difference between the two proposals. Our first proposal has two C and D, which are additions to the prior proposal. Our further proposal is a narrower one, which deletes two C and D, and only has two A and B, which is the word in the prior substantial contravention of the law or its imminent public statement. What are the checks? Thanks.
And then on page 15, Old Clause 39 and Clause 48 to delete the word for to both such fine and imprisonment. Also on the top of page 16, for to both such fine and imprisonment. Then at the bottom of page 16, further proposal, that is the coming from Honourable Member Dr. Abrasini's document, the proposal on Clause 48. Chairperson, then yesterday Dr. Ambrosini also asked us to insert further additional IFP proposals in the document relating to 46, 50, 55, and that is incorporated on pages 17 and 18 on his request. Thank you, Chairperson. And that is why we have it on the sector 17 and 18. We were asked yesterday by Dr. Agostini during the deliberation just to insert and you mentioned the various clauses. So that's why we've got it as additional answers proposals and incorporated on the request that we said we must incorporate it in the document.
Yeah, I don't understand why the Honourable Ambassador is asking for things to be included in the document that we had not brought to the committee. He's not here now. He has distributed these documents. It's not like we don't have this information. And the idea was not to crowd the document with a whole range of things that seem to complicate. The document is just so that we have enough paper we can work on, and then as we work through it, we transfer it onto the working document. The issues that we are discussing, we should not discuss the question of the procedure in court. I think that should have been mentioned anyway, Honourable Members. That's what we have. The first question is, in the working document, has that been properly recorded? And I heard no objections when the statewide advisor was referring to the working document. So I take it there's no responsibilities of the agent, but that is properly recorded. On the moment, then, that is then a matter that is concluded. On the SIN document, on the moment, there seems to me very little there that this has been discussed other than the various proposals of the IFPs now being included in the document. Am I correct, the Honourable Members? I don't think there's anything that you want to discuss here, because we have had many discussions yesterday on these issues. Perhaps if I might be able to inquire then, despite the limited position that they would have an opinion on this, that you promise us.
Because
thanks, we're asked to look at the at how the courts have dealt with prejudice in their judgment, and we did that, and we looked at the cases that deal with fraud, and the element of fraud for person that a person has unlawfully made a representation. Which is a direction or distortion of the truth, causing prejudice with intent to defraud. Those are the elements of fraud for the person. So prejudice is one of the elements of fraud. And the appellate division in the case of rights that are paid and others, there is the meaning of prejudice as one of the elements of the sense of fraud. And the court, Schringer, they stated that the false statement must involve a risk of harm, which need not be financial or proprietary, but must not be to remote or sensible to some death, but not necessarily the person to whom it is addressed. The court then referred to another case of rats and crude. And it's also a 1946 decision of the Appellate Division, where the meaning of the expression calculated to prejudice was discussed, and where it was pointed out that the test was not a subjective one, but an objective one. And in that respect, it's equivalent to likely to cause a risk of harm. They clarified that the use of the word likely was not intended to convey that there was there must be a probability that opposed to errors of harm. He also pointed out that the question was examined in the respect of Kruger in 1950 decision. And I think that the expression would or could have caused prejudice used in the case does not mean that the prejudice would have been caused, but that it could have been caused. The court then pointed out that the indictment in the case of Hayne alleged that there was prejudice, that is, a risk of harm to various persons or bodies. Among those bodies were mentioned by the state, and it noted that in a number of cases of the provincial and local divisions of the High Court have had under consideration proceedings to the state, which amounts the same thing as proceedings to the head of the Department of State as a foundation for a charge of fraud. In the cases referred to, the court found that there was prejudice to the state and to the local community for whose protection certain restrictions were enacted, such as on the supply of liquor. The court stated that the fact that the charge of fraud was supported by an allegation, or maybe supported by an allegation of prejudice to the state is clear, and that it was taken for granted by the appellate division in the respect of Manasseh. And then a 1934 decision of the appellate division. The same meaning was adopted in State versus Lapis Garfman, a 1997 decision of the Northern Cape High Court system. A case that dealt with forgery and Atari. The element of forgery is in a unlawfully making a judgment which is false, causing prejudice with intent to defraud. The same meaning was again purposely given to prejudice in the case of State of Hawaii 2003 decision of the Victor Trent Local Division, which dealt with prejudice. Referred to in section 86(1) of the Criminal Procedure Act of 1977. The subsection provides that the court may, where a charge is defective for any number of reasons, at any time before judgment, order that it be amended if it considers that the making of a relevant amendment will not prejudice the accused in his defense. But the person is apparent in these cases and in a number of other cases that deal with fraud and that consider the issue of prejudice, but the court are familiar with what prejudice means and that it denotes the risk of harm and the aggrieved.
It is back to the conclusions that you have also come to. I know you have relied on the decisions, but have you also come to those conclusions?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come to those conclusions.
The Honourable Swart and then the Honourable Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I also did a bit of research on the issue of fraud, and clearly the legal advice is correct, and all depends, however, on the context of prejudice and how one frames it. My question is, I see in some, in for example, our classification level, there's a reference to prejudice and there's a reference to jeopardize. Is there any difference between those two contexts, firstly? Just to get back to the issue of prejudice, where it's used in the bill as table, there seems to be, and we know the whole context of this is in collapsing the espionage offence, benefit and prejudice. What my concern is still the broadness of the concept of prejudice, and I would like us to because you are dealing with national security here, why shouldn't we refer to prejudice to national security or to put it into the context of where it's being used? But prejudice in the context of fraud is an element of harm, but it can be, if you put it here, prejudice, harm to the Republic, or harm in general, it could be an economic harm. It could be, what you are dealing with here is prejudice in the confines of national security. And I think that is very important to understand the context. Another example is, we use the word prejudice under the classification where we've now taken it out, but we refer to prejudice, the Republic in its international relations. We specify the context of the prejudice. Yes, we've now decided to take it up, but this is a different example of how we narrow down the prejudice that we are meaning. When you write a letter, for example, a legal letter, you can say without prejudice. That means without harming your negotiations in a settlement case. So I appreciate what has been said, but I think we need to consider the context of the prejudice that you are dealing with when we deal with those things, and it might not be harmful to them to say prejudice to national security, and that is something we can maybe consider. Thank you.
Chair, thank you for that legal opinion. Again, in support of the Honourable Schwartz, I think context is important. The context we are dealing here with is security and national security. And I mean, one would want to look at case law involving prejudice to the state or prejudice to the Republic in the context of security or national security cases. But nevertheless, thanks for your opinion. Chair, the more substantive matter is this. What I propose and what I thought that we agreed to was something quite different. I proposed, and I was under the impression that we had agreed to, taking a legal opinion from Parliament's law advisors. And the legal opinion that we sought was whether inserting prejudice to the state or prejudice to the Republic in the hostile activity offence would make the offence overbroad and therefore unconstitutional. I think that is what I proposed, that is what I thought we agreed to. Now, if there was a misunderstanding, I would put that proposal back on the table. And I think it would be useful in assisting us with our deliberations on the hostile activity. Okay.
Another one.
I get the sense the goalpost has shifted by my recollection. Certain world of that there was demand for definition of prejudice. And that is where the discourse was centered around. Now that we have that, the reason why we don't need a definition, now it's suddenly shifting to definitional opinion on prejudice related to hostile activity. Quite clearly, I'm satisfied with what has been presented here. We don't need a definition. As we've always argued, the courts are full of what prejudice means. They understand. If they don't, they shouldn't be sitting on the bench. And that's the thing said.
That's really cool, Chen. Since the Honourable Lord is now present to suggest that we are shifting goals for the record. It is certainly the case that Mr. Mania asked you for a parliamentary legal advisor's opinion, and if we discussed Mr. Venara would be the person working for us, and it was so agreed by this committee that we would do that, and that he would give his opinion on prejudice as phrased in the hostile activity offence. So that's for the record. Nobody shifting goalposts, that is exactly what Mr. Mania asked, and with respect to your opinion.
Chair, in response to Article 1, we have heard nothing from the state law advisor on the context of prejudice in national security or security related cases. And so I don't think that there's any evidence for us, of course, to in fact know how to
point is, Chair, I urge you to go back to the record to see what we agreed on. I'm sure that you will find that what we agreed on is that we would receive a legal opinion from Parliament's legal advisers on the constitutionality of the hostile activity offence as it is currently proposed. And if indeed that is what the record shows and that is what we agreed on, then I would urge you to ask the parliamentary advisers to prepare that opinion. And I do think that it will be helpful in our deliberation.
I'm sure that the legal advisors do bring us an opinion on prejudice to national security, and the reason for that is we probably didn't ask them. Now, if we didn't ask them to, then they don't do it. You can't point a finger at them now. We raised the issue of prejudice as a definition, and there was an insistence. Prejudice must be defined in the book. And there was a lengthy argument about that. But now that they've brought it, now you're saying, oh, well, we actually meant we wanted something on prejudice to national security, which is different from what the Honourable C. Swat is raising. C. Swat is raising the context, and I understand his arguments. But I don't think it's fair now to say, well, they didn't bring anything on prejudice to national security. When we, in fact, didn't ask them to do so. Not as I recall, Chairperson, and I'm open to courage.
Honourable Sumter, if you want to do that, I saw your finger.
Honourable Mayhem.
Chair, I just wanted to clear, it's not my intention to point a finger at the state, Lord Biden. They may have understanding here. That's the first point. The second point is, the point that I'm making is exactly the same point as the Honourable Steve Swart is making. We have not heard anything on prejudice in the context of security or national security cases. That's the only point I'm making. And it may be useful for us, in fact, to go back and look at that case.
Honourable Mayor, the discussion that took place the other day relating to prejudice was specifically generated because of Canadian law, which we were meant to understand and defined prejudice to mean a whole range of things there, which we were, our attention was drawn to, and we were asked to consider, including a definition for prejudice in the bill, taking into consideration the guidelines of the Canadian law. The counter argument, as I understood it, and that came from the Honourable Lawyer, is that our courts know what these things mean, and that there was no need for the definition. My understanding of the matter is that what we wanted to see was how the courts dealt with prejudice, whether there was evidence in our case law that our court actually understood what prejudice means. And that is my understanding in terms of what was referred to the state law advisor or to Mr. Bernardo, as the case might be, and I'll address that issue soon. The matter was followed up, I'm not sure it was yesterday or the day before, when I mentioned to the state law advisor that they still had some outstanding work which they had not yet presented. And you will recall I asked how much time you need. And he then informed us what it was. And he had said that it was in fact this opinion on the prejudice. I did not hear at that stage that there was any objection when the state law kind of informed us that that was still outstanding. The question of Mr. Bernardo, I had approached him, he was in fact very busy. At the time, I was concerned as to whether we would get an opinion in time. I then asked him to lie hands of a secular advisor on the matter. And that is my understanding of how we are now sitting at the secular advisor giving that opinion. But be it as it may, I think what we have, our attention has been drawn to is the case law, is the situation that pertains in South African law. The fact that no cases have been mentioned that specifically relate to prejudice in a national security context, I don't think is specifically what we have asked. And see whether our court understands what prejudice means, or whether they rely on something else to determine what prejudice is. And it's clear from what we hear in the fraud cases, in the cases referring to the Criminal Procedures Act, that the courts have applied their minds to what is a really existing in the jurisdiction. And some of the cases that were mentioned go in fact as far back as 1940-something. But I don't think honourable members should get into a dispute unnecessarily on this question. Whether you think the opinion is appropriate or inappropriate, whether you think Ramada should be the person, whether there was a misunderstanding, I think that if you are not happy with the opinion because it is not on point, I think you should formulate what it is that you're looking for, and let me pass that on to the Mr. Bernardo, and let's see if we can get an opinion on the specific point that you would like. But I would request that you draft that thing so that and that's just I'm not making a particular issue as to whether the state law advisors were incorrect in granting or bringing this opinion. My view on the matter is that is what they were asked. But I think whether we should argue about this now is unnecessary. If the opinion that they brought is not helping you, draft what it is that you want, and I shall pass it on to the Mr. Bernardo and when we can have that opinion. Yes, Honourable.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think we also have here who were listening on the argument last time about the question of the sweat and the meaning of that. Now, what God, I think, is the shifting. Let us not here next time saying that prejudice against the hostile deed. And then when we solve, when the law advisor brings the solution to that case, that is, then we say prejudice against essence. I think that's shifting of course to what happened. Because we're listening to the argument of prejudice, the meaning, the definition of prejudice.
Do you want to do it? Our members, unless you're going to bring value to the discussion now, I think if what I have said is not sufficient, then I'd like to hear that it's not sufficient. But I think it's not going to help us now to get into it. I've given you an opportunity. We'll take that further opinion and we'll get on with it. Yes, I'm going to
say my suggestion at some stage to consider those words national security. That is a proposal from my side to that we should say that when we find them, we get a position greater.
Oh, thank you. there seems to be to have been two little primitive past between last night and tonight. One of them means to really take the position and come today with. I have not received any request today to deal specifically with some of the issues which I have raised with you last month, which I have specifically requested that you consider, so that we can start proceeding again from an informed position. There was an opinion that was tabled at the meeting yesterday. I think it came from ODAC. I suggest that all the honourable members read that opinion. It deals with a very specific issue, and I would suggest that you read it. It's quite a technical legal document, but for the purposes of enlightening yourself on that particular matter, which is specifically with the whistleblower. If you look at it, you'll see it is a clause that we have agreed upon, in fact, specifically because of the pressure that had come from section that whistleblowers were not adequately dealt with in the bill. Many, many, many months ago, we had adjusted one of the clauses of the bill in order to what we thought would be to bring the bill in line with whistleblowers and also the Companies Act and any other law. Just have a look at it on the moment. It's for information purposes. The point I was making early on, and it seems that we are going to serve no useful purpose here, arguing about things or discussing things that you still appear to have gone to have to do some homework on. We are still waiting for the preamble clauses, which I said we are not going to spend a lot of time on. We are still waiting for the amended clause of clause 3 of the bill, which deals with the application. We expect that when the ANC's proposal comes, it's going to be a much reduced version of section 3, the application clause, but we still await that too. The honourable members, coming down into what I am actually saying, there seems no reason why we should continue the call. It appears that you have not yet had an opportunity to do your homework. And I would want to send you away today and want to see that you come back on Monday with having covered all those things that I have said, mentioned now, and those things that I have mentioned last night. And I would like to see, that when we meet on Monday, that you have in fact applied your mind to these things that I have mentioned.
Thirdly, Chair, it's whether we should include the provision for a that, and in line with that same submission, the whole question of archives and the 2008 version of the bill, where he proposes the reintroduction of certain clauses from that 2008 version. Firstly, Chair, my list, the application of the bill, although in that case, it's a bit of homework that we've left the draft. So I'm not sure that it involves anything that we have to actually do, but very long but applying our minds to. And then last but not least is the preamble. But Chair, I did this last night and I may have left one or two things out.
Yeah, we also have to still deal with the situation with appeal. And there is also the question of that status of review, whether we still need it there, given the, because it's hanging there, the status of review clause. I did mention that it's hanging there and it seems to serve a useful purpose now. Yes, Honourable Member.
Yeah, I don't want to try Honourable and patience, but that's a nice issue to recall is the whole question of security matters.
Yes, Honourable Bain. Yesterday I drew your attention to the conflict of laws and the... But that's a matter which we have discussed, the decisions that we need to take tonight. You might want to put that on your list too. I think if you look at the document, yesterday, the thin one, you should have made a number of notes on that document, because in that document there are matters which I think we have discussed, which we are not going to discuss again. Those things really, when it comes up, it's going to be for DC, and unless they are persuasive matters that have not yet been addressed, that might come about the party otherwise. Anything else on the list? I will attempt to do a complete list of these things and circulate it. And then you may check and see if it's consistent with your. There is also the state law advisor to remind us on give us an opinion on PIRA, I think it's section 80 of PIRA. We do recall that, you will find it in your notes if you should be in the read. Yeah, that was what you want to be heard.
It covers the item number 2, the disclosure offences, that will incorporate all the various offences which the response
when I drew your attention yesterday, I said look at your original bill and we went through them then. So you should keep that document because you should have made your notes on that specific document. Honourable Member, goes in, if there's nothing more than to say that we are going to meet on Monday. G26. And we will meet at 2 o'clock. And I trust that the honorable members will use the time in such a way that you can bring value to the meeting on Monday. So, honorable members, all the best for the weekend, and we now.